All right, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I am here with Kathy Heitzenreiter. Did I say it right?
Perfectly.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Yes. Kathy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ann. How about you?
Very good, very good. And, of course, you have been in Greenwood for a long time.
Yes, we moved here in 1997, and fell in love with Greenwood and the people, the community, really, and decided this is home.
Well, it's kind of unbelievable because a lot of people would wonder why somebody would come from Somerville and move up here.
Well, I have to tell you, Somerville was Greenwood when we moved there. Mm-hmm. It was just a lovely little hometown on the outskirts of Charleston, and, you know, just what everybody looks for a place to raise their children and that sort of thing. But it exploded. It absolutely exploded and became something we didn't recognize any longer. And we were looking for a place that could offer us that community again. Greenwood was it.
Greenwood was it. Well, before we start talking about real estate and everything, where are you from originally?
I'm from a small town in Florida, Zephyr Hills, which is 28 miles north of Tampa. And its claim to fame is being the city of pure water. So occasionally you'll find bottled water, and across the front of it is the name of my hometown.
Absolutely. So, mm-hmm. Grew up there in Florida. And then how did you meet your sweetie?
Oh, he was a sailor in one of those really cute little uniforms, you know. Who can resist a guy in a uniform?
And that was in Jacksonville. He was up,
yes,
in Jacksonville.
In Jacksonville. We met on Valentine's Day.
How about that?
And whirlwind romance. And that was 38 years ago. And it's just been 28 years of wonderful living.
Well, that's terrific.
No, it's been 38. I'll go ahead and correct myself.
Okay. Well, okay. I was trying not just to gloss over that because I didn't know what you were trying to tell us here, Kathy. 38, 28. Okay.
I just knew you would catch it, Ann, but it just went right past you. No,
I was scared. What was the reason there? But yeah, so you've had 38 or 28 or somewhere in between.
It's actually been 38.
38.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, that's terrific. So, when you were growing up, before you started working and everything, what did you think you would be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a banker. And
you
so
wanted to be a banker?
I did. Go ahead. Call in the psychiatrist now. You know, who wants to grow up and be a banker?
But why did you want to be a banker?
I have no idea. It just looked like a lot of fun to play with all that money.
Okay. That's like when we bought this building here. Jeff always wanted to own a bank. So I said, okay, we own a bank. He goes, no, I wanted the bank with the money. Exactly. Yeah. But so you wanted to be a banker, and
I did. And so as a young high school student participating in a program called DCT, I began working in a bank while I was still in high school and loved it. It's one of those things, it's either in your blood or it isn't. And it was in mine, and I stayed with that for 31 years and absolutely loved being in banking. I did everything from the part-time teller work to the lending auditing, working with federal auditors and training of loan officers, and you just name it, whatever there was. I mean, I think they call it chief cook and bottle washer sometime, but at any rate, I loved it, but, you know, kind of burned out after 31 years.
Well, that's true, but also, don't you think banking changed?
That may be the understatement of the century, Anne. Banking is nothing like it was when I began. There are still some good bankers out there. I think they find it hard to be that personal hometown banker that people enjoy having so much because of the regulations that we have these days, and also because of the, I guess, the desire of so many institutions to become national institutions or global institutions, which when they start on those paths, they lose that personal touch.
Well, I know you were telling me there were, what, the five C's, and one of them was character?
Absolutely. And it was the big C of the five C's when I started lending. And no longer is that a factor. Everything is automated. You fit into a little scale. And character is not a part of that the computer can analyze.
That's true. And I think for so many people that were caught, shall we say, in that, in enjoying that personal relationship with a banker, being able to pick up the phone and say, I need, or we need to set up to do this, and you could have that telephone conversation and then follow it up with the paperwork, not having that today has really put a lot of people in a bind.
It has, because, you know, it's wonderful as a banker when you have a customer that is riding the top of the wave. Their business is going well, or their job is going well. Everything in their life is just wonderful, and they're bringing money to deposit and that sort of thing. But I think that a banking relationship should go much farther than that. You should be there to walk with that person when they are not on the top of the wave, when they've lost that job, or when their business has slowed to a crawl, and they need the support then of the bank that they've been supporting all along. But so often today, bankers just have their hands tied, and they're unable to fulfill that side of the relationship. And I think it's very frustrating, especially for those who have been in it any length of time.
Absolutely. So, then I guess there's the flip side of this, and we have all these, these younger people who are now coming online and and they don't seem to... they don't seem to miss the fact that there's not that personal relationship. They're perfectly fine with doing everything online, of filling out forms and just being there and not having that personal part.
Have you ever had a virtual handshake?
Can't say that I have.
Well, nor have I. And I don't think it would give you much of a warm fuzzy.
Right.
You know, and maybe they're not looking for that. But I tell you the truth, if I'm going to leave my money somewhere, I'd like to look that person in the eye and have some confidence that they know me and they know who I am. And when I call and I have a need, that they know who they're talking to.
They have a picture in their brain of who they're talking to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. And relationship is important. I think it's being the importance of it's being diminished today through the virtual avenues,
right?
But it's still needed.
I think so, and I think eventually, you know what, they'll come back around and say, you know, maybe we needed some of this at some point. I certainly hope so, because it's going to be a pretty cold, cruel world out there if everything is just a number.
It certainly is, and that's one thing that brought me back into a career where I could be a part of helping someone achieve a dream, be a part of, have a relationship with a person that I'm helping to either sell or to buy a home. I just don't think that we should be replaced with a machine.
With a machine.
Sorry. I think humans are much better to deal with.
Robots, yes. We have personality, we have feelings, and we can empathize. And that's something I don't think the computers will ever really do.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Kathy. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors and be right back. She's got an exciting new career. She's gone into real estate. But before we get to that, we're going to talk a little bit about Connie Maxwell Children's Home. She spent 10 years there. So don't you go away. If you have a question, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with Kathy Heitzenreiter right here. She's become a realtor for those of you that didn't know. She is with New City Development and Realty. And, of course, she was in banking for 31 years. Yes, she knows all about banking. That should be a help, Kathy, when you're trying to set up financing or trying to get somebody to the right place for financing.
Well, it surely is, because I'm familiar with the terminology that the lenders are speaking, and so many times, especially if it's a new home buyer or first-time home buyer, they have no clue when people start talking about debt-to-income ratios and those sorts of things. So I'm able to help walk with them through the unknown territory of buying a home.
Sure, absolutely. So that's going to be a big plus for you. But also, I just want to touch on the fact you actually worked for 10 years with Connie Maxwell.
I did, and what a joy. That ministry is just a phenomenal thing, a part of my life, and a part of this community. To think that it has been here now, 121 years, I believe, this year. And the numbers of children and families that have been helped through that ministry, we don't have a good handle on. We really don't, because records were not kept early on as far as numbers, and I'm sure some over the years have gone, but it's in the tens of thousands.
Yeah, I think Ben Davis was on last week with us. I think he said somewhere around 16,000.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That is huge. And, of course, it's not only here in Greenwood, but in other areas of South Carolina, too.
With five campuses, it truly serves the entire state of South Carolina. And children of all ages, from as young as 4 years old, if they come with an older sibling, through their high school years. Some children stay as little as a few months, but some I have known personally that have stayed through all of their school years.
And it actually becomes like their family.
Absolutely. And that reunion that's held every 2 years, it is a homecoming for them.
Sure.
It really is. And it's maybe the biggest family in the world.
Biggest
next
family
to the Christian family.
Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, what exactly did you do as a director there?
Well, my title was Director of Development, but that was a friend and fundraiser position. So I had the joy of speaking with people about how they could be a part of the ministry, whether it was volunteering their time, their talents, those sorts of things, and then putting them in contact with Polly Davis to match those up with children with needs that they could help meet, or whether it was helping them with an estate plan or making a one-time gift or planning on a monthly contribution for Connie Maxwell to enrich the life of a child that otherwise may not have that hand up.
It must have been tough in the last 2 or 3 years.
It was very tough. Absolutely. It was the perfect storm of fundraising in the last couple of years, really. So, you know, I feel that it is a place that has had the blessings of our Heavenly Father through all these years, and I just think if we're fortunate and blessed, it will continue to be there as long as there are children that need it.
Sure. And, of course, the new program that they're doing with families, that's a real nice program, and it's having success.
Absolutely. Family preservation. I mean, really, can you think of anything more important than holding families together these days? I personally feel like so much in our society that is wrong is because of the demise of the nuclear family. And if we can help to keep that mom and dad and children together and functioning on a great level, let's do that.
Sure.
You know, let's focus on it.
You know, what's interesting, you said nuclear family. I haven't heard that term in probably, 10 or 15 years, because it's something that we all knew this. And, of course, the big fear was that the extended family was going away and we were going with the nuclear family. Well, guess what, folks? We've now fallen down even below a nuclear family, with basically sometimes just a mom and children or dad and children in the family, and it is amazing how it has evolved.
We have fragmented units that are trying to function as a full unit, and some of them, by the way, do an excellent job. I mean, there are single parents out there that are just carrying burdens and doing phenomenally well at taking care of their families. But you know what? I can't imagine that there could be a better situation than a loving mom and dad for every child.
Absolutely. I agree with you. But that term nuclear, I was just like, yeah, that's what everybody used to say. It was the end of the world when we had the nuclear family, remember?
Right, yes.
Yes, it went from extended to nuclear, and oh my God, what's going to happen? And here we are. We are evolving down, so hopefully we can get more moms and dads together in families. That would make a big difference
right.
in our world.
And that's the focus, is trying to hold that family unit together as much as it possibly can through that program.
Sure. Well, you can go back and listen to Ben Davis. He was on last week. If you'd like to hear it, just go and to WCRS1450AM.net and go to the podcast page and look him up, and you'll find him right there. So it was an excellent interview, if I do say so myself. We had a good conversation. But so you left there, and then what made you decide to go into real estate at this time of the market? Oh, my God.
I know. I'm in therapy. Actually, I am a people person, and I really enjoy, you heard me speak about relationships and banking, and I think whatever you do, it should benefit both parties. If it's not good for both of you, it's not going to be good for either of you. And I do derive great joy from helping people. And I look at when they come to me with either selling their home or purchasing a home, I want to hear their dreams, their desires. I will help someone buy a home. I do not sell them a home. Mm-hmm. I help them find what they want. And putting those pieces of that puzzle together and having everybody happy when we sit down at that closing table is just great. I mean, it's a wonderful feeling of accomplishment. I feel like I've helped the person mm-hmm. on both sides of the table.
Sure.
And so it's all about me.
It's all about you.
It's all about me.
Finding the perfect life for Kathy. Okay, I like it. You know, at some stage in our life, we need to have perfectness, don't we?
We do.
And we do. And that feeling of accomplishment. Yeah.
We do. And I like to laugh, as you've probably figured out by now. I like to have a good time at what I'm doing, enjoy it. And I do with real estate. I enjoy it very much.
Wow. Well, I'm just, had you ever thought about real estate before, or this was just something you, one day you woke up and said, I think I would like to go into real estate?
No. I did think of it about 31 years ago or so. I actually obtained my license, and I was still in the banking career at that time, and just didn't let go of banking to do the real estate. And so it seemed like a natural for me. You know, this is probably my final career. I you know, maybe not. Who knows what's around the bend? But I do enjoy this. It has a great variety. And so it fits me.
It fits you. Well, mm-hmm. that's terrific. So you came up with, did you have to go back through and go to school and everything, or had you maintained your license the whole time?
Oh, my word. I did not maintain my license. And
I wish
I had. All of you listeners out there, if you're thinking about a career in real estate, it is tough. It is tough. There are, hours of classroom work, and then there are the tests.
Sure.
And then there's the licensing process. And it really is a profession. You know, I think people think that one day you pick up your purse and decide, well, I'm going to go out and sell real estate today. And they don't realize how much it takes to be a professional in the real estate world today.
And a lot of the regulations and everything have changed. Here we go talking about regulations,
again,
just like in banking. But the regulations have changed, and the paperwork is so much different that it really is like going a whole new back to school. How long did it take you to become a realtor?
I did it over a number of months. I think if you were going to focus on just getting your licensing as fast as you could probably do it in a couple of months.
okay.
Yeah. But it is intense, and it has changed like everything else in the world.
Darn it. Why?
Yeah, so sorry.
Why?
So sorry.
Hey, we're here with Kathy Heitzenreiter. We are going to hear our South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. You stay right with us. We'll be right back. Hey, if you got any questions, you got a real estate question, hey, throw it at her. We'll be right back. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Oh, that's right. We are here with Kathy Heitzenreiter right here. She is a realtor at New City Development and Realty. Now, they are actually in Greenville.
They are. Well, they sort of. Are, but I'm here.
I know. You're here in Greenwood. Yes, you're the
That's
New
right.
City Realty representative here in Greenwood.
I'm it. Have car, will travel.
Okay.
Yes, yes. They're originally began in Spartanburg and now also have a location in Greenville, and actually serve the entire state of South Carolina, focusing mostly in the upstate and in the coastal areas. Representing.
Well, why is it called New City Development and Realty?
Because it's a relatively young company started by Sean Thomas, who grew up in the real estate world and has just the natural ability to see the promise in something. And his heart is in revitalization, which he was awarded accolades in 2007 for developing the Brio in Greenville. And that was an old hotel that was no longer an asset, really, to Greenville. And he turned that around into some beautiful condos, which brought new life back into the city. And did a great job. They're just beautiful. But that ties right in with the motto of the company for building relationships and driving progress and improving lives.
Wow. Well, sometimes I think we'd like to have Uptown Greenwood here as a mini Greenville. That's what they're working towards. That's tough, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think that Greenwood has its own charm. Mm-hmm. And certainly doesn't need to be like anyone else. It needs to be itself. It's what brought us here.
Sure.
My husband and I, we were attracted to the community of Greenwood. And not every place needs to be a huge, thriving metropolis. But just look at the characteristics that are your best and focus on those and work to make them attractive to other people.
Absolutely. You were talking about Landrum before we came
Absolutely.
Back on the air. Yeah.
Landrum, small, tiny community, but very charming and has brought the antique world to its doors. So many great little shops there, and people come in by the busloads. They did a very good job of figuring out what they could do well and focusing on that.
Yeah. So that's it's finding your own niche market for everybody.
Sure.
And of course, one of the things that I think is kind of sad in some aspects, and it's not just Greenwood, it's small communities across the country are losing those small individual businesses because it's becoming so tough for the small businesses to stay in business.
Well, it is, and it's like so many things in our society today. It's all about the bottom line. It's not about the people anymore. And you need to make a priority of supporting your community businesses, your local small town businesses. And I know the Chamber of Commerce does a great job of trying to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, keep the dollars in Greenwood. And there is so much to that, because you'll just lose the things that make your community special when you lose those individual businesses. The big box stores are great. Don't get me wrong. They have their place, but they cannot replace the small business.
I think you're right, Kathy. So how's it been going? How long have you been actually doing your real estate now?
Well, officially, I hung out my shingle January 5th.
Woo!
So it's
still new and fun.
It is. It is.
Yes.
I've been extremely busy, which is great. I'm really kind of cutting my teeth in the upstate and the Greenville market. Belton, Anderson, Pelzer, Piedmont, some here in Greenwood. And for all you folks out there, I have time for you right here in Greenwood. Love this town and think that, I can do a very good job of representing it to potential buyers. Mm-hmm. So I hope to be so busy in Greenwood at some point that I don't have time to go beyond our community. But
on Greenwood County will be the line.
Exactly. You know, if you cannot hear Ann Elder there, I don't work there.
Okay. All right. There you go. That's pretty good, Kathy.
Is that where we're going?
Oh,
yes.
I guess so. But why do you think you're busier in the other markets right now?
You know, Greenville is just an absolutely, if I can use this overused term, but it is a hot market. Greenville, Charleston, and I think it has a good bit to do with the fact that they have a lot of industry in both of those areas. People are being moved by their employers to and from those locations. So there's a lot of real estate transactions that are taking place. Also, I think properties are priced well, particularly up in the Greenville market. I've done a lot of studying the price per square foot and that sort of thing, and I think they're doing a great job of pricing their properties well.
Well, probably, and some of that has to do with the fact is it has to turn over. Meaning you have people that are being transferred out or transferred in, and so there is that need
absolutely
to sell. And, you know, I don't know whether that has any effect on Greenwood. There's a lot of people that would like to sell, right?
Right.
But, and there's a lot of people I know in Greenwood that have made the decision, well, I'll just stay put right
yes
now. So
yes.
I think that might make a little difference. I don't know.
Well, the atmosphere has been one of wait and see for the last 5 years. And people are finally saying, we've got to do something.
Sure.
You know, we just really need to do something. And so they're starting to venture out, maybe with not a great deal of certainty, but they're going to take the leap anyway.
What about the banking end of it? How is that loosened up at all? Or
I really don't see that there's a push for mortgages in the industry. I don't see a lot of new products being put out there to entice folks. I do see still some liquidation of properties that were lost during this economic downturn. And that is fueling some of the real estate market. I have to be honest about that, that those properties that are being liquidated by the lenders mm-hmm are great deals for the investor, or, you know, sometimes just for an average home buyer, but those are fueling the market.
But those are going to work right through too.
There will be an end.
Right.
There will be an end.
Yeah. So what have you been, what have you been selling then? What have you particularly seen as good sellers right now?
Right now it's the single family home. It's that three bedroom, two bath standard,
right?
You know, that's really everybody's looking for. Occasionally, it might be a larger property with a little bit of acreage. You know, we have some of those country at heart folks like me that want to feel a little bit of the outdoors when they step out their front door, and so they're looking for that property where they can get on their riding lawnmower or have a garden out back or what have you.
Chickens.
Well, you know, you can have those in the city of Greenwood now. Wait a minute. We don't have to go to the country for chickens anymore.
Okay. Cows? Goats?
Yes, no. I think those need to be outside the city limits.
Okay, all right. But we can't have chickens inside the city limits of Greenwood. It's reassuring to know that the chickens can live within the city, isn't it?
It is. You know what? We laugh and have a great time about these things sometimes, but I think that personal freedom is so very important, no matter where you live. And if someone really has a desire to have laying hens that they can raise their own chickens, their own little eggs, and have them without all the additives that come through the mass-produced poultry folks, then why not?
Absolutely.
Why not?
The only thing that I have not understood about these small little chicken houses that they're building and putting out there with five or six chickens is I grew up in Maine, and I used to go visit my grandmother, and she had chickens. In fact, they ran all over the yard and everything. And there was this one problem with the chickens running all over the yard. It was the chicken poop, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah, there is
every
that.
Every time I see these pictures of these lovely chicken coops, there's no chicken poop. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the chicken? Have you noticed
and
these
pictures? And let me give you one word.
What?
It's called marketing.
Well, I just was looking for that truth in advertising.
Please, Anne. Really?
Really, absolutely. Hey, I'm here with Kathy Heitzenreiter. We are going to be right back. Don't you go away. Got a question for her? Give us a call. I think she's going to tell us about some of the properties she has listed. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows Sharp Facets Gallery only carries the finest in jewelry. But did you know we offer the three R's? Repairs, replacement, and restoration. Repairs from sizing to stone replacement. Restoration of your treasured pieces to their former beauty. Or revamping or restyling by resetting your stones in new mountings. All repairs are done by our master goldsmith, Richard. Only Sharp Facets Gallery can provide you with both quick turnaround and professional, reliable service. Come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass or call 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We were just laughing about the chickens here. We were trying to figure out how many eggs can you buy for these $1,000 chicken houses that people are spending their money on. It sounds like it could be a pretty good amount of chicken eggs could be bought.
Yes.
And you don't have any of the chicken poop or any of the cleanup. You know, I'm kind of obsessed with that. Chicken poop, yep.
You know, Ann, the good news is that I really don't focus on buying or selling chicken houses.
Well, that's probably good. But if you got one on the property, you know, that's a little extra plum there.
That's true. That's true. And actually, there's a property in the upstate that I recently showed that still had chicken houses on it from the 1940s.
Oh, these are the big ones, though. The big
No, ones. No, it was a backyard chicken house.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, really.
Kinda looked like a big outhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember those chicken houses, yes.
Not the pretty little things with the little dainty windows and what have you that we
painted real pretty,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, Kathy, what you said the regular single-family, two-bath, three-bedroom family homes are the things that are selling. What type of things that are you listing right now?
Well, you know, we recently sold a couple of really nice properties on Augusta Road in Greenville. That's kind of the heart of downtown Greenville these days. Augusta Road is the premier area. Everybody wants to be there. But there's also some properties for commercial development that we've recently sold to some very large convenience stores, as well as properties down on the coast. Mm. Daw Island, for instance. We've got some great deals. If you've been waiting all your life to get your place on the lake, believe me, there are some wonderful deals right now. We have a Lake Lanier house that is just staggering. It's so beautiful, and it's less than $400,000.
Wow.
Locally, you know, I have some lots on the market that are priced beautifully. They're just waiting to be picked up by a smart buyer. Out on Newcastle Road, I have a building lot in the Loxley Hall area that's priced at $8,900. Really, y'all? I mean, $8,900.
Yeah.
I have a lot in Gatewood. Great lot, priced at half of the tax value. We're talking $17,000 here. I have a place on the water in Savannah Lakes. Pretty lot, well under the market for $65,000. You know, there are deals to be had. So if you've been just sitting on the edge, kind of waiting for your opportunity, this is it. It's here. It's knocking.
So do you think that the market then is going to start, that the market is recovering? I know, what did they say, that sales were up 16%, and that was the largest increase? I think I heard that on the news the other day. What do you think for South Carolina, and particularly the upstate area, including Greenwood? What do you think?
I think we will see an upturn. I don't know that it's going to be a leap up.
Right.
But I think it's going to be a nice increase. We're already seeing it in other areas, and I think it'll come to Greenwood as well. The springtime, for one thing, always gives people that urge to, you know, maybe it is time for us to buy our new home. You know,
sure.
Move up a little bit into the larger home we need, or go ahead and take the plunge, excuse the pun,
right.
Out of the lake.
Right.
But where I think you will see some of that natural movement because of the springtime starting to happen. And then, too, people, again, are getting off the fence. They've been sitting, just holding their breath. I think they know what they're up against now with the economy. And they're going to make their moves accordingly.
Now, what is it for the brand new home buyer, the person that has never bought a home, what are some of the most important things for them to be looking at for themselves to get prepared to be able to buy a home?
Before you start going out looking at properties, the most important thing is to know what you can afford and what kind of financing you're going to have. Because when you put a contract in on a property these days, and I can tell you 30 years ago this was not the case, you need to prove that you have been pre-qualified to buy that home. So the first step is to get to a lender and talk with them about your income, about your expenses. Let them figure out your ratios. That's that debt-to-income ratio, debt-to-housing expense, and tell you what you can afford, what you can qualify for. What you think you can afford and what you can qualify for are sometimes two very different things. So get that under your belt and then start looking at properties, because you know what's going to happen when you start looking at properties? You're going to find something that you absolutely love. And if you love it, somebody else is going to love it. And if you don't have your ducks in a row, they might get the sale instead of you.
Sure. Now, for the person that has owned homes and everything, what are they looking at if they're looking at making a change?
Be realistic. Be realistic in what you expect to receive from your home. A good market analysis from your realtor will help you do that. We'll give you some comps. We'll tell you what's been going on in your vicinity. We're not going to compare a Greenwood home to a Greenville home. It's a different market.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get an analysis of what's happening in your neighborhood so that you can price your property appropriately. If you do that, your chance of success has been increased tremendously.
What about baking cookies? You know, they always say this baking cookies and leaving the cookie smell. I mean, what about some of that stuff, Kathy?
Sure. I think it does help. It sounds so cheesy, doesn't it? I mean, really. But you walk into a house where there's been fresh baked cookies or bread, and immediately you feel better about it. And here's one little tip. For you folks who are thinking of selling your homes and you've got to move ahead of time, don't take everything you own. You know, leave a little few things in the home to give it a little bit of warmth, so you're not just looking necessarily at just bare. I'm not talking about the magazines from 5 years.
As they talk about staging a home anymore. And if you have moved everything out, quite often they'll want to get rent furniture or whatever and put it back in and stage a house.
People want to have a vision. Not everyone can walk into a house and say, oh, you know, my sofa is going to fit right there and this is going to go right here. Not everyone can do that. So staging just a little bit, not everything like you're living there, but just a little bit helps. One more big tip for you sellers. If you're leaving your home before it's sold, leave the power and water on and leave your home warm in the wintertime and cool in the summer. It does not have to be 80 degrees in your home if it's 30 out, but it should be at least 60. You want that buyer to linger there.
Right.
And if they walk in and they're standing in the middle of an ice chest, they're not going to stay. They're going to briefly look through it and go back and get in the warm car to go to the next property. So, you know, think about if you were the person buying, what would you like when you walked into that home?
All right. I'm going to ask you one more question, Kathy. You know, there's a lot of people trying to sell their houses on their own, and people are trying to buy without a realtor. What do you have to say? Where is the value of having a realtor?
You have an advocate. You have someone who knows some of the intricacies of buying and selling homes that can help negotiate for you. And there's nothing like having somebody look out for your interest. You have an agent. That's where that word comes from, is the person who is there to represent you. And whether you are the buyer or the seller, you want that layer between you and the other party to represent your interest. It's nothing like having a professional do the job for you. If you had a toothache, you wouldn't go to your local plumber and ask him if he can get his pliers out and pull your tooth. Yeah, it might save you some money, but in the long run, it might not be very comfortable.
And you might spend a whole lot more in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And please don't call me to fix your plumbing. That's not what I do well. You know, but I know about real estate and I know about financing. And those are the things that I can give you my expertise and my training and give you some value for the money and help you come out with a better deal.
Absolutely. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. We are talking with Kathy Heitzenreiter, and she is a realtor with New City Development and Realty. Phone number to call her up and tell her how much you enjoyed this interview and how maybe she can help you. You know, the phone number is 980-2525. That's 980-2525. Kathy, I certainly have enjoyed sitting down and talking with you today, and I think that you're on a roll, and people ought to just pick up that phone, give you a call, and ask the questions and see what it takes, whether they're selling or buying.
Absolutely. I welcome your calls. I'm not going to have all your answers. I don't think there's anyone who does, but I will certainly help you in any way that I can and make the transition, whether it's the purchasing or the selling of your home, an easier process for you and hopefully an enjoyable one.
Absolutely. And one more question that a lot of people don't actually know. You can buy a house from any listed property.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to have my sign on it. If you see a property, and a lot of folks are shopping the internet these days, they're going on to Craigslist, they're looking at Realtor.com, at Zillow, any of those properties, you can call me. And I think someone is. You can call me, and I'll be happy to get the details and help you with that. My number is 980-2525. You can reach me on my website at newcityrealestate.net. I look forward to hearing from you all and helping you on the next transaction for real estate.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on this afternoon, Kathy. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.